to Catch the Craze Podcast Audio Mix, the show that delivers what you need, from comics to music to all things independent, the heart of the industry. Catch the Craze, baby.
I'm so crazy, you so crazy, crazy.
I'm
so crazy, you so crazy, crazy.
Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast Audio Mix. I am Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and unfortunately I was supposed to be recording this show today with my co-host, you're right, George the Dreamer Medina, but again, he's out there with some chick doing his thing. I don't know which one it is this time, but he's got them all over the place. It's like every damn city, there's another chick. So, you know. Where's your priorities, man? Where's your priorities? You know, have me sitting here flying dolo. All by myself, I wanna be. Anyway, don't wanna be. I wanna be. Who the hell wants to be by themselves? I do sometimes, because sometimes, man, my wife and those animals, I have like 3 dogs and 3 cats, they drive me nuts. And I just wanna go up into my office and do my thing, work my magic. And anyway, so today we have a great show on one of my boys. This guy's close to my heart. That's the Wolf himself, David Keyless of Infinite Line Comics. This guy's a fantastic artist. He has a real good history behind him and a lot of great stories. And we actually spent some time out in San Diego as a group of us. You know, we all shared expenses and, you know, just got a big suite. And hung out, and every night went partying, and, we did our thing at San Diego, and, David's a real good guy, very down to earth. I met him at the Big Apple Comic Con a few years ago, and we've been friends ever since, and, the Big Apple National's coming up, and I believe that's where we met, the National, you know, 94, and, ever since then, we just, been hanging with the homeboys, but not really hanging out until like about a year ago, year and a half ago, when we really, really started hanging out. But, you know, at the conventions, we were like convention boys, you know, now we're like boys. And, he's in operation as a quick executive at, a retailer a few blocks down from where I am. And I'm an operations executive myself. So we're going to have David Keyless on the show. That's going to be pretty hot. And got some really great, interesting things happening for Crazy Comics and, Catch the Craze and all that stuff. So, I just finished, like, you know, if you guys probably heard me say it a dozen times. I just completed, you know, There's Alien My Toilet Part 3. And, I'm working on issue 4. And, I had to go, and I went out to Texas because I was, I supported the Arthritis Foundation and spent some time with my wife's family. And I was trying to get out of a rut, you know, as an artist, and I know there's artists out there that can attest to this. Sometimes you're stuck, you know, you're stuck on dumb, and you can't pick up that pencil anymore, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, when you pick it up, you're just staring into space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of Starship Enterprise. And I just couldn't do it, you know, and even when I went out to Texas, you know, I just found myself on my downtime working on the website on duty'sworld.com, and I'm working on some really good stuff for that website, but I'll talk about that later. So, you know, I come back and, our agent hasn't called us. So we weren't sure what's going on with what we're doing and with, Duty's World and, you know, and on the marketing and licensing and all that stuff. So, you know, I've been around, I'm like, wait, you know, what's going on? Is, you know, is this all there is? You know, because sometimes, you know, all the money's coming out of your pocket and the money doesn't come in the way you want it to. So, you know, you have doubts. So anyway, I'm sitting here and it's like 8:45 a.m. and there's a voicemail on my phone. I look at it. I don't recognize the number. And I call and I listen. It says, hello, how are you? I was wondering if I can order 50 copies of Disney in My Toilet issue number 1. My name is so-and-so. Can you give me a call back at do-do-do-do-do? And at first, like, 50 copies? This is a joke. Who's playing with me? Who's trying to suck me out? Who's trying to play with me? And I was like, yo, nah, this can't be possible. Maybe it's a retailer. You know, maybe it's a store. You know, and at first I didn't recognize the area code. I thought it was in California, but it's in Jersey, my hometown. Hometown in Jersey. You know, home to Bon Jovi and Boose. So I called back. No, first, actually, just in case. I said, just in case it's not a hoax, because we haven't, I mean, we didn't have any more copies. I mean, we were done. You know, after San Diego and the last few conventions, we ran out of our inventory, so we didn't have anything left. That's why print on demand is such a great thing. So I'm like, all right, I gotta call my printer. Now, it's a boy that I'm working with, and you know, and I told you the whole story, how we do things here, you know, and, he ain't answering. He's not answering his phone. I said, yo, I got an order for $50, and this boy ain't answering. I'm going to shoot him. That's it. He's dead to me. D-E-D, dead. I want his family dead. I want his people dead. And so I'm like, I'm stalking him now. I'm text messaging him. I'm sending him emails. I'm leaving voicemails on his phone and his wife's phone, on his home phone, on his grandma's phone. I'm like, yo, dude, where are you? I got to get this done in case it's not a joke. Because if it was a joke, and if it was one of my boys, they'd be toothless. They'd be having two tooths left. Two tooths. Anyway, so I call back and I'm like, I leave a voicemail because the person who called me for the order didn't answer the phone. She calls me back. Hey, how are you? You know, I was wondering, you know, do you have anything in my toilet number one? Because I know you sold out. I met you at a convention. And I was like, oh, it dawned on me. It was a mother with some kids. And they took some pictures of me and George. And, you know, they wanted the book signed. But we only had one issue of number one. And we had plenty of number twos. So, you know, they bought the number twos. And she bought the number one. And, you know, and I gave her my business card. And I normally don't do it because my business card has my cell phone. If you get my business card, that means you're my boy. Or you're somebody who can help me grow my business. Somebody I want to be in contact with. So, but because she was so enthusiastic and the kids were so enthusiastic over the book, and she loved the fact that at this convention, the New York comic, the New York Spectacular, the comic book spectacular show, the one day show, the fact that we had books that were all ages, kid friendly. She loved the whole idea, so she wanted a business card. I gave him a business card. She called. She says, I am having a birthday party for my son, and I want to buy 50 books for the kids that show up. Is it possible to have them all signed? I said, of course it's possible. And she says, I'm buying in bulk, you know. Is there any way you can give me a good deal? I said, yeah, of course, definitely I'll give you a good deal. So, you know, we gave her, you know, a percentage off the cover price and everything. I said, give us your son's name. She gave me her son's name. I said, all right, I'm going to do a duty pinup just for you, just for your boy. And the whole bit. So there it goes. That inspired me, and I picked up the pencil. I started drawing again, and I got that fire back. And that wasn't it, you know. And then I got a message from, you know, people, things that are going on behind the scenes of the duty that's going to blow up soon. I got an email that just inspired me even more. It's like, ah, man, just when I thought I was lost, just when I thought I was in the dark, coming out of the dark, I finally see the light. Anyway, so that was some great stuff, you know. So all right, now, you know, so I met George. I finally got the printer. We got the books, you know, issue, you know, number one, and got the books. George and I sat down. Signed every one of them, all 50 copies. And I just finished packing them, and it's going out. It's going out to you. So thank you to the Brisky family, I believe. And, you know, have a great party, and I hope you enjoy the books. I know you will. And, yeah, it is the Brisky family. Thank you all. And for catching the craze and supporting duty, doesn't need it in my toilet. So some good things happening. Besides that, we just got the third issue back from the printer of Disneyland in My Toilet. Looks great, you know. Thank goodness there's no typos. You know, George said he did say he spent 2 weeks proofreading, and he also had, you know, somebody else take a look at it. So, you know, we don't have time to, you know, hire any editors or anything like that. You know, we got to do things ourselves. So, no typos. Thank you. Whew. So we got that book back, so we're going to have it for the National. We're not going to have the trade, but we got issue 3, baby. And we got some other things going on. Probably giving away some good, really good pinups at the National as well. So we're going to nix the podcast show at the National. Seems like, number one, we're not even on the roster. I don't know what's up with that. Alan, Alan Rosenberg, what happened? I called you. You said, call you? I called you. You never answered your phone. I left you messages, text messages, the whole bit. And I don't even see me on the schedule. We wanted the 2 o'clock slot on Saturday. Nobody wants Friday because nobody shows up Friday. So anyway, we're going to nix the whole podcast thing at the National because some of the other podcasters bailed out. They fronted, whatever. I'm not sweating it. Last time I ever offer anybody else out there. We'll do it ourselves next time. And but we got some really big things coming down the road. We're just going to focus on the whole duty blow up at the National. That's going to be pretty hot. You know, we got some really good things coming on. So I got to talk to Brian. Brian, expect my call. Big Apple National Convention, 17th, 18th, and 19th. Tent Plaza Pavilion. Don't want to miss that one. It's going to be hot. And so that's what's happening there. So George is currently coloring issue number 4. Some of the pages. I got a lot of pages here I have to ink. And if you know, I'm not an inker. You know, I'm a tracer. I'm a tracer. You know, and inking is a craft, man. It's a skill. And I see some dudes, they just whip that ink and they create magic. They can make horrible art look like Picasso. Me, forget about it. I don't care how hard I try, I can't ink for the life of me. You know, but I can whip a pencil. I can whip a pencil. You know, not the best, but I'm good. I'm good, you're good, you. And so yeah, that's what's going on here. Yeah, I'm a little crazy. I just had some mean-ass Popeye's chicken. Wow. I love me some Popeye's. A spicy chicken? Whoa, some real... You know, you get the buttermilk biscuits from Popeye's, but I come home, I take the biscuits, I dip it in butter, and I put it back in the toaster oven. Damn, when it comes out, it's crispier and juicier. And then when you take a bite into that chicken, the spice. The only bad thing about it is the next day, it's over. Fire in the hole! You know, whoa, fuego. Damn. The rear, burning. But it's worth it the day before and the day after. It isn't. So drink a lot of water. Flush that thing out. And so anyway, I just had some really good Popeye's chicken. So, you know, we got some really good things going on. We're going to have Brian Kahn on the show coming up in a couple weeks. We're going to have Digital Villains, Omar Sullis. That's right, Omar. You're up to bat. You're coming up, kid. It's up to you now to represent for your crew for Digital Villains. Omar is a director, producer, independent filmmaker extraordinaire. And he's actually the one who's been... directing, producing the Crazy Comics Behind the Craze video, the film, independent film. So Omar, and he just finished, they just debuted one of his films at an independent film festival in Coney Island that he went and he represented out there for. I'm sorry I couldn't go. We were at a convention ourselves that same day. But Omar saw us. You're coming up, baby. I know you're listening. Don't stop giggling. Stop laughing. Stop. Don't laugh. It's not funny. Anyway, so who else? Who else we got? We got some really good, you know, people coming up soon. We're also gonna have Peter Palmiotti. Peter, Pumpkin Eater. What's up with you? You know, he's the brother of Jimmy Palmiotti, who from Marvel Comics. But Peter Palmiotti, he does his thing. He's a really great inker, and he's gonna be on the show if you know he can get his schedule right. And we're also gonna have Ian from Dime Store Productions. He's the man who runs things there, and get his POV on the comic book industry and why he heads the pack of the independent revolution with Dime Store Productions. And he also runs Small Press Idol. So we got some really good guys coming up on the show soon, and some great things happening for Crazy Comics and Catch the Craze. So no news yet. I know people have been asking, are you going to be at the New York City Comic Con? You know what's messed up? Bill Butler, I'm putting you on the spot, kid. You told me that while we were there, and we had a table last year, this past few months, we had a table. It says, you know, sign up, secure your table for next year. You secure your price as well. So why is it when I call, you say, they don't know if I have a table because they're still going through the list? We were the first ones. The craze, remember? The ones that you said you couldn't even get a word in with us at San Diego because our table was mobbed. Yes, we have a fan base, kid. What's up with that? So I don't know if we're going to be at the New York City Comic Con because of that. We're on some sort of waiting list. That just pisses me off. I'm from New York. This is my house. We got a loyal following, kid. Can't do this to me. Now, if I go to Chicago, nobody knows me out there. But in New York, they know me. Anyway, so, Bill, what's up? I'm going to call you every day until I get my table. I don't want a 4-foot table. I want a 6-foot. I want an 8-foot table. That's right. I want 8 feet. And I can't afford your booths. $1,800. Nah, that's too much for me. You're too rich for my blood. So, New York City Comic Con, we don't know. But Pittsburgh, we're going to go to Pittsburgh. You know, we're going to do a road trip. It's going to be David Keyless, Brian Kung, you know, George Bettina, Sam Vera, Jonathan the Psycho, Syphax, Annie Ball, Arroyo. And we're going to go on the road and we're going to go to Pittsburgh. And, you know, San Diego's a definite. We're definitely doing San Diego. The Big Apples all the way. We support Michael Carbonaro and the Big Apples and, you know, and Brian. And, you know, Alan Rosenberg, and we support all you guys at the Big Apple, so you don't want to miss this. So catch us at the Big Apple National. We're going to have some pinups that we're giving out free of duty at the door. We're going to have some amazing sketch cards by yours truly, some really hot sketch cards. I mean, they go faster than I can draw them. So, and they're inexpensive, kid. So if you want them, get them. You know, pencil sketch cards are $5. That's right, my competition? You know, Brian Kong's hot, you know what I'm saying? He has some skills with his, you know, he's like the Ritz. He's like on Fifth Avenue. I'm down by Lexington. You know, he's on Fifth Avenue. So I saw my $5. You gotta have money to get Brian stuff because he does things for Major League. He does things for the, you know, for Marvel Comics and everything, you know, so, you know, he got some clout. I'm just a little crazy guy. So I gotta sell mine for cheap. But, you know, they go faster than I can draw them. But we're definitely gonna have a lot of them with me at the National. Duty issues 1, there's the end of my toilet issues 1 through 3, Hi, I'm Duty from Uranus issue number 1, and Duty's Adventures issue number 1, so it's going to be a Duty affair, don't want to miss this. So, without further ado, take me back, we're going to cut to commercial break. I am, whatever you say I am, because if I wasn't, why would I say I am in the papers? Nah, anyway, I am Santa Crazy Man Vera, and I'm going to leave you with this. Peace, baby. And we'll be back with David Keyless. Yeah, baby. Here it is. The Big Apple National Convention. November 17th through the 19th at the Penn Plaza Pavilion. That's right. You have Val Kilmer and Adam West. Batman. You also have Michael Biehn from The Terminator. Oh, this is going to be crazy. The Warriors. Warriors. Come out and play. Coachy, Cyrus, and Orphan, plus Crazy Comics and plenty others. Daisy Duke in the house. Look at them girls with the Daisy Dukes on. See you there or be square November 17th through the 19th at the Penn Plaza Pavilion, the Big Apple National Convention. Visit BigAppleCon.com. BigAppleCon.com.
2 years after Duty's first trip to Earth, location, Laboria, haven to smugglers, heroes, and others.
It was amazing. I mean, they unleashed an entire arsenal at me. A futile attempt.
You don't say.
There was a lone soldier.
A soldier? Wow.
Mr. Gorf, I understand you may be a hero in some sectors. Need I remind you, you are in the company of a superior intellect and should never disrupt one while in the midst of a statement.
You are correct. I apologize. Please, continue.
Where was I? Oh, yes. There was a lone soldier, outnumbered and surrounded. They came from the air, the sea, the land!
To find out what happens next in...
Hi, I'm Duty from Uranus.
Visit CrazyComics.com for all of your Duty adventures.
Ay caramba, it's a talking jalapeño! That's right, you heard me, a talking jalapeño. Watch as I, Herman the Chihuahua, go after the talking jalapeño when he comes into mi casa. And there's an alien in my toilet part 3. You don't want to miss this. Bye-bye.
All right, we're back with Cast the Crazy Podcast Audio Mix. I am Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and we have a guest on today, and it is the man behind Infinite Lion Comics, and that's David Keyless. What's up?
Yo, what up?
What's going on?
Not much, man. Chilling.
So, David, where are you from?
I'm from here, bro.
Where's here?
I'm from here, Brooklyn, man. You know how it is.
Brooklyn. So you were born in New York?
Born and raised, man.
Born and raised. All right. What was life like as a kid?
Rough? Yeah, rough.
How rough?
Rough enough, bro. People up when you're 3 years old, and, you know, it's not an easy thing.
It ain't easy being cheesy.
Nah, man, just, you know, it's what it is. You know, you kid from the ghetto, you growing up, either you go that way, you go this way.
Right.
You know, I chose this way.
You tried this way.
So I'm doing the interview. And, you know, I'm not behind the, you know, putting this up there, right? Because I'm going to share my room with Billy Bob or Bubba or, you know, Jim Bob Bo, you know, trying to turn me inside out, you know. I'm out here, you know, in my crib chilling, watching CSI.
Yeah.
Laying it down with you.
Yeah, CSI. Yeah, I'm going to be watching The Wire after this show.
Yeah, right. A few more minutes, man. What time? 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, right. So you're growing up in Brooklyn. You have any siblings?
Yeah, I got a brother and I got a sister.
All right. Are any of them into any of them artistic?
No, no, no. I think I got this, my talent and my ambition from my mom. My mom always pushed it.
Yeah,
always encouraged it. Yeah.
Was she artistically inclined? You know, did she?
No, no, not really. But she saw the ability in there that I had.
So when did you start first drawing?
Well, you know, my pops used to collect comics. He got me into the comic book thing time ago. He's a comic collector. I would say I started drawing 6, 7 years old, man.
Wow. Well, and do you remember what was the first thing you drew?
Yeah, not really. Not really. You know what this is about, bro. You know me, bro. I remember things from 6 months ago, not 6 days ago, you know. I was drawing, I remember drawing, like, Halloween stuff, you know, like witches and things like that in the beginning, yeah.
So what was the first comic book you've read?
First comic book I read? I would say, I used to flip through them. My pops used to give them to me, but I remember actually reading my first comic book was a What If Conan the Barbarian was stranded in the 20th century.
Wow. Wow.
That book is bananas, man.
Bananas.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I'm assuming, so you, like you said, comic books is what inspired you to draw. So, did you, you know, were you drawing in school? You know, were you drawing every day? You know, what was it like growing up?
What was like what?
Growing up, you know, how often would you draw as a kid?
Oh, I was drawing like every minute of the day, man. I got in trouble every 3 seconds, man. Teachers used to send letters home to my mom.
Yeah?
Because I needed to talk to her, and I never used to give the letters, man. I was out there drawing the school, you know.
Yeah, so... At what point in life did you realize, hey, you know what, I want to do this? I want to really do this.
Yeah, you know, when I was in junior high school, mm-hmm. I went to PS 291
right.
out here in on Gates and Wilson.
Right.
And, you know, I took an art class there. You know, you don't stand in these public schools for art classes. And then I drew a little illustration of, you know, they actually, draw what you want to be when you grow up. And, you know, I actually drew an illustration of, you know, someone who was me sitting at an art table drawing comic books. And, you know, I think from that point I knew that that's what I wanted to do.
Right. So now did you decide to go to college for this?
No, well, after I graduated high school in 93, you know, I latched on to a studio, guys like Rich Buckler, Walter McDaniel, you know, Brian Kong and Nathaniel Pellet, who guys, you know, joined in the industry, and I started doing that right after high school, doing you know, perfecting the craft, learning about drawing comic books from guys who weren't doing it.
Right.
And you know, I did that for about a year with these guys. You know, I go some comic books. You know, I did a backup story, Mr. Tina T for us. So, you know, I got some things done, but, you know, things like that, sometimes you don't, doesn't work out for you because either you get paid for one thing or you don't get paid. You know, it's either or when you're somebody's assistant.
Right.
So, you know, I decided to go to school, but I didn't go to school for an illustration. I took graphic designing in college. So my bachelor's degree is in, advertising design.
Right.
I figured I needed something to back up, even though I don't use it now, you know.
Right.
Life of the independent publisher is you work a full-time job.
Yeah.
And you do this stuff on the side, but you do it.
Right, exactly.
You do it for that love. You know how it is, bro.
Yeah, man. I know how it is. Yeah.
So, you know, you get the parties in there, the drawing the comics in there, you know, and then you try to make it work.
Right. So. Now, did you ever submit any work to any of the big two?
Oh, yeah, man. Thousands and thousands of times. You know, I used to go up to the, we're talking 93, 94. Within that year, you know, I used to go up to Marvel Comics all the time, you know, show my portfolio. I got in the door, Marvel Comics Presents at the time.
Right.
And, it was, you know, it was a good thing, you know, show my portfolio, and I did a backup story, of a Spider-Man backup story that they paid me for. But, you know, at that time in 95, Marvel claimed that Chapter 11, or they were in the process of claiming Chapter 11, and everybody's foot that was in the door got that, you know, got a chapter off, you know, left toes behind.
Wow.
So after that point, I was never able to do it, so I pursued college. I made sure that, you know, I got my degree. You know, it was just more important to get that. And, you know, in between doing that, I started publishing my own books. I started going into the independent publishing realm.
So, I mean, how did you find out that there were ways to submit to the big two? You know, did you, like, pick up a comic book and say, hey, let me submit something to these guys? I mean, what was it? What was the inspiration behind all the thought process? Did someone say, hey, why don't you send your work? What was that like?
Well, me sending my work in to these guys were more with the studios. The guys like working with Daniel, who was doing stuff, you know, he would take us up there with him. So while he was working with his editors, we used to just walk into the offices and start showing work. I mean, I mailed them stuff like the Malibu, like titles that interest me.
Right.
At that time, they were doing X-Mutants, Malibu Comics.
Right.
And, you know, this is years ago, man. And, you know, I sent stuff like almost every week I would send a packet, you know, and I would get a letter, you know, telling me, yeah, my work is not up to that level, that par, you know, just keep trying, you know. Milestone Comics, which, you know, that subsidiary of DC, black superheroes and stuff like that. You know, I got my share of rejection letters.
Right.
You know, it was a little discouraging, but, you know, that's why I chose independent things. You know, I had my own line of ideas and my own creations that I decided that I was going to try to push and get it out there.
Right. Now, what was your first convention?
Wow.
As a fan.
Well, as a fan, I used to do these, in 93, well, like 93, I would say January of 93, Jacob Javits Convention Center.
Wow.
He used to have the biggest show in New York there. That's what the Great Eastern conventions used to be.
Right.
And, a lot of your old fans, they know about that. I remember doing that as my first show. Going to that thing, and it was huge. It was big, you know. I remember, you know, showing my artwork again. You know, the submissions. A lot of editors would look at artwork. A lot of artists, you know, showing my artwork at the show. You know, with my portfolio. And I was still in high school at that time. So showing my portfolio to, you know, I remember being online with showing it to Neil Adams and when Topps Comics was out and Harris Publications and when they were just getting started again. So, you know, I would show my stuff all around. I would say, like, in 94, like, January of 94, again, the big show again. My craft was a little better, you know. I was learning how to... I'm a pencil by nature, so the pencil line is very important to me. And I was developing my style. And, you know, I remember going to Harris Comics, and I had three Vampirella pinups. You know, my portfolio, and, you know, Melanie Crawford Chadwick at the time, she was the editor-in-chief and publisher of Vampirella for Harris Publication. You know, she saw it, and right on the spot, you know, she purchased the three pinups. Again, never saw the light of day, but, you know, I did things here and there.
Nice. So then, at that point, when did you decide, hey, I want to be on the other side of this table at a convention?
Around that time, in 94, when I was, you know, with these guys, Rich Buckle and Walter McDaniel, I was part of the studio, and I started doing the shows as part of the studio, the Great Eastern Conventions, the shows, the Michael Carbonaro, the first Michael Carbonaro shows in the church in 95. on 60th Street. Yeah. I did this one of the big conventions in Long Island at the whatever that is over there. It was so long ago, I don't even remember the name.
Yeah.
You know, I did Cherry Hill shows. I was doing Baltimore, the Baltimore convention before it blew up to be what it is now in Maryland, you know.
Yeah.
So I've been doing shows since 94 on the other side of the table as an artist.
Wow.
Selling my stuff. Yeah. Selling prints, you know, we all started just selling prints.
Right.
You know, we used to go to up to the School of Visual Arts. These have the huge blueprint machines, and we used to blow up our 11x17 prints to like 24x36 and sell those things, man. Those things would blow out. You know.
Yeah. And so that, what point did you say, hey, you know what, I want to create my own book?
After the after being discouraged for submitting, you know, to the editors and the demise of Marvel at the time when they, like I said, it was Claim Chapter 11. We, you know, I just had to do my own thing, and you know, do the conventions and shows. I met, you know, two guys that, you know, to this day, like my brothers. We do this together, Dan Rich and Carlos Montanez, and you know, we decided to do our own thing at that point.
Right.
So you know, I've been doing it. The first issue we did, Infiniline Comics Presents. We did that in 96, and I printed 10,000 books through Brenner.
Wow.
My first show with that book was San Diego Comic Con in 1996, and it was big then.
Wow.
You know, I took like 4,000 books with me. I sold 2,000 at that show. I came back home with 2,000. you know, I sold probably another 1,000 through Diamond, the distribution, at that time.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't think I ever got paid from them, but, it's over now. I don't really care at this point. But I did, you know, we've been doing, I still got like 5,000, 6,000 books in my basement. I give them away free at the shows now. But, you know, we did a lot of, like Ashken comics, a lot of illustration books and pinup books. That's what, you know, we've done mainly, over this thing in a couple books. On and off, you know, I lost touch with the guys. They all moved, they did their thing, and we still, you know, try to stay in correspondence, but I've always printed something somewhere, sometime. You know, I took it seriously again in 2000. You know, I've got billions of pinups out there for a lot of small press people. You know, I go to the shows and buy everybody's book, you know, like yours. You know, I bought your books at the show. Things about it, if it catches my eye, I buy them, and you know, and I'll draw something out and I'll send it out to the guys, you know, to whoever. So I got who knows how many pinups out there. Whether they're publishing the books is another thing. But, you know, every once in a while, I'll find something of mine in somewhere.
Yeah, and the duty pinup that you did is going to be in the trade paperbacks. So that's pretty hot.
Cool.
Yeah, but, you know, that's pretty interesting what you said. I mean, you mentioned, and this is going, at, you know, back then as an independent publisher, and you decided to do 10,000 units. Why 10,000?
Well, at that point, to get a good price, you know, and again, you know, to get a good price on anything in 96, you had to go crazy. You know, you guys would have been good at that time because you would have been crazy and then broke.
I'm crazy and broke now.
But at the same time, no, but at that time, there was no print on demand. There was no printing 100 issues.
Right.
Printing 1,000 issues was like, you know, it was hell and high water. It was like the most you could print with anybody.
Right.
And, you know, I'm talking about, you know, about Brenner Printing and Clevercore in Canada and few other printers out there. And 10,000, you know, we were getting the books for 32 cents a copy. You
okay.
know, I don't care, you know, I tell everybody, I don't care what I, you know, what it costs us to print these books. We were only selling the books for $1.
Right.
So, you know, I printed 10,000, 32 cents a copy. You know, it cost me, you know, $3,200, $3,500 with the shipping because, you know, it's $250 a box. 10,000, you know, I got 75, 80 boxes in my basement. How many?
And $250 per box?
$250 a box.
Oh, books a box. I thought it was $250 for shipping.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. But it cost me a pretty penny, man.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, man. But at that point, to get a book affordable, it was 32 cents a copy. We did 1,000 copies. It would have cost me roughly about the same thing.
Wow.
So I went crazy. I said, well, you know, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it. You know, like yeah. every new publisher.
We all do the same thing.
We all do the same thing, but it's, you know, everybody, and with good intentions, that, you know, everybody's thinking it's going to be the best thing since sliced bread.
Right.
You know, we went into it with that attitude. And, you know, it was successful. It was successful in its own right, you know, because we did it. We got out there. We sold them at the shows. We were all over the place. We promoted it. But, you know, if things don't catch on, they don't catch on. You can't do nothing about that.
Right, right.
But you know, after that book, you know, I lost contact with, you know, my boys, Dan and Carlos, for a little while. But, you know, every once in a while we touch base again. And at that point, I was more into, I wasn't into pushing the books. I do everything at my own pace now.
Right.
And I only sell at conventions. And, you know, I consider my books more underground.
Right.
More underground, you know, like those old school, you know, like Crumb and Zap and you know, all these old guys, you know, the Meat Cake and these deep underground books that they print 100 of and you can't find them. And in the 70s and the 80s, and, you know, you go to any, and there's limited comic shops that will have them, you know, like Von Bode, you know, all these guys, they got their books there. You know, you find them, those things are $60, $70.
Right.
If you find them, and that's, I'm talking second or third prints,
right?
You know, so I figured, you know what, I'm gonna go the route of more underground, and just publishing and getting my books out. And you know, I've got a few books out now. Right. I did, like I said, a lot of illustration books. I've been working on my Arcane story for some time now. I got 12 issues I have written. I've got I'm in the penciling process of issue number 4 now. So when I get all 12 issues penciled, I'm gonna get it out there and see what happens.
All right, nice. But now, back in '94, back around that time, the internet. Back in the days, baby, on the boulevard.
You want me to go way back at the time?
Yeah.
Back to the cephalopod.
Exactly. Now, the internet was nowhere near where it is now. And the hype wasn't nowhere, you know, as far as getting the word out. What was your, what did you guys do for promotions, for marketing?
Listen, we went to, at that time, in 94, first of all, we were doing shows, you know. When I did my first book, which is in 96, I'm going to talk to you about that. In 94, I was still just illustrating and trying to get into the, you know, more of a DC. 96 is when we took the venture into publishing.
Right.
And in that time, and again, 96 is still way back. It's 10 years ago.
Right.
At that time, you know, Dan and I and Carlos, you know, we hit every single comic shop in the city in Manhattan. You know, we sent out, we printed ash cans, like, you know, a preview of the book. Once we had the book solicited in Diamond, and I think we had a May solicitation.
Right.
It was May, and then we were doing the San Diego Comic-Con that year.
Right.
So the books were going to be in the May previews in 96. And, you know, we were sending out ash cans to, you know, comic shops all over the United States that we had addresses for.
Right.
But, you know, we did a lot of shows in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. We met a lot of dealers. And, you know, I said we should probably send like 100-150 ash cans all around.
Right.
You know, with promoting the book and previews, asking everybody to do that. But we hit the, and at that time here in the city, you know, Forbidden Planet wasn't on 13th Street. It was on 12th Street on the corner.
Right.
You know, that's how far back I go. You know, St. Mark's Comics, Midtown Comics. I mean, all these shops. There was shops up there on 70th Street, you know, on the west side that were down in somebody's basement, you know. We hit every single comic shop. We went uptown, you know, to Harlem, and just walked our way down, hitting every single comic shop. I'm talking, you know, 20, 25 comic shops in the city at that time.
Wow.
You know, at that time, Jim Hanley's Universe was on Chamber Street.
Right.
They had a store down there. They had their store on 30, they had the store in the mall.
Right.
Jim Hanley's Universe. So, you know, we hit everybody up. And, you know, the books were in the comic shops.
Right.
people picked them up. St. Mark's Comics, which had another comic shop in Brooklyn called Metropolitan Comics. You know, I sell my books in the stores.
Right.
You know, and then at the shows, you know, dealers would come up to us, you know, and I would sell them to the dealers for 40 cents a copy, and they'd pick up, you know, 20 copies. You know, so, dude, it was really legwork, hustling, working out there, touching base with people.
And what was the cover price back then?
$1. I was selling my book for $1.
Wow.
All my books, yeah.
Wow.
The Ash Can we were doing for $1, you know?
Yeah.
The book that we had printed with Brennan, we were doing for $1. We were selling them for $1.
Wow, School of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, man. Old school, bro.
Old school. Way back. Right, so now, how many conventions have you attended over the years?
What kind of question is that? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I think I'm asking to do the separate part. Like I said, I did Heroes Con,
right.
North Carolina. I did Dragon Con in Atlanta. I went down there and I did, I was doing the Florida shows.
Right.
Capital Entertainment, Inc., whatever they did, the Florida shows. This before they had a Mega Con and before they had, you know, an FX thing. I've been doing shows down there. Virginia, I would do the shows. I did these shows in Waldo, New Jersey. I probably have done in the last 10 years with the one day shows and the Scotty O'Donnell and a lot of guys know about the Scotty O'Donnell Friday night shows out there in Brooklyn and one of these old churches out there. I don't know, about 100, 150 shows in the last 10 years.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I do my thing. You know, I'm that guy. I'm the guy that everybody knows, but nobody knows about. I'm that guy who's there, you know.
Norm from Cheers.
Who got the pencil, you know, the pencil skills, but, you know, nobody, you know, they walk past the table. You know, I'm that guy. Yeah. I'm one of those guys.
I'm going to give you a Flavor Flav moment. Wow. I remember when we first met, it was at the Big Apple Con.
2004. When I printed my first Untitled.
Yeah, man. And that was like, we were babies, and you know, growing into this business, you know, wide open, you know, eyes wide, and you know, all excited and crazy, and spending money that we didn't have, and doing some crazy things. But we met, and like, you know, we've been boys ever since, and you know, we just went to San Diego together, and that was crazy.
Yeah, but what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, man. You know about that, bro. I won't blow nobody up.
Crazy thing.
Boy George.
Yeah, I know, Boy George. George is in a league of his own.
I don't want to blow anybody's spot.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. So now, I mean, I know you have one of your newest projects is Bare Knuckle Fighters?
Bare Knuckle Fighter, correct.
Bare Knuckle Fighters, yes. And it's a great concept, and it's, I mean, your line style is very unique, and, I mean, you're very great with the inks and the washes. You can practically draw anything at the drop of a hat. What are your plans with? Now you said you have your book. Is it Arcane?
Well, Arcane's my baby.
Your baby.
Everybody's got a baby. Arcane is my baby.
So tell us about your baby.
Well, you know, it's a science fiction epic. You know, it deals with everything. It's something. It's pretty much Arcane is a new breed, and what that means is, you want me to get into this, but you got another hour for the show. I don't think anybody's going to download this show. They're going to hear me talk for another hour. But anyway, check it out. I'll try to give you the brief synopsis.
There you go.
All right. This takes place 25,000 years in the future. Earth is a complete cybernation. And what that is machines pretty much take up the population of the world. The human race from today, where we live in right now, has evolved. All right, into what we know as an alien race. And the alien race are those little 4-foot, big-headed, 3-finger, 4-finger, you know, aliens that communicate, you know, telepathically. Now, what happens is because of the evolution of the human race, it creates a cybernation. Humans pretty much die out, and the ones that survive are, you know, are genetically advanced humans, which I call them gashes. And they split up into two groups. And, you know, it's an end of the world type of thing. You know, it's survival of the fittest, it's last man standing. And humans are forced to evolve, and they evolve into after human mutation, which are, you know, creatures that live under the ground. And then they evolve this, the other way, which is into the alien race. Now, what happens is that when that evolution is happening, right, Earth is dying. You know, the ozone layer is depleted, and technology takes over. And when we create supercomputers that are able to create more computers and create machines that can create themselves and think independently, that was a cause for human evolution. And, you know, when a human, all he has to do is sit in front of a TV, and the machine's coming and feeding him and cleaning him and, you know, doing everything for him, you know, his head enlarges and he's absorbing information, and, you know, his limbs, you know, deteriorate, they deplete, they become, you know, useless.
Right.
That's it. So this is where the future is at. But now the alien race is, you know, it's at threat of extinction. Because there's no oxygen forming on the Earth. So what they do is, and you hear this today, like alien abductions and alien sightings, and that's what they're doing, is they're sending search parties here and they're taking samples and they're abducting people and they're creating new breeds.
Right.
And in my story, I create what they call a new dog species. And a new dog species, what that is, it's an advanced animal that they use its feces to fertilize the Earth so that trees can grow faster, so it can produce oxygen and restore the ozone layer. But like any animal, once the need for it is done, they want to, you know, take it out. They want to terminate it. And any animal is not going to be, you know, put backed up in a corner. They fought back and they started killing their maker. So what do these, you know, these advanced aliens do? They do something stupid. They go back, abduct genetically advanced superior humans, bring them in, crossbreed them, create a new breed, and that new breed is Arcane.
Wow.
They make them the ultimate weapon. And his job is to eliminate the new dog species. And we're talking 25,000 years in the future.
Wow.
So when he does his job, what's there left for him?
Right.
They want to put him down. What happens to any creature you want to put down, put his back to the wall, fights back.
Right.
But, you know, he's different. So he, you know, he flees, he leaves, he escapes. He takes a space cruiser and he travels into the past, into a barbaric time, which is Earth right now.
Right.
To hide. So now he's in Earth now and they create three more to hunt him down on this battleground. So, you know, it's a space epic. It's a science fiction, crazy, and, you know, but I deal with the supernatural. And in the 12 issues I've written, you know, he befriends a child. His human half daughter, which is a reporter, an on-the-streets reporter. You know, he befriends her as well. You know, nature freaks, which are just freaks of nature that live on the ground, that, you know, are outcasted from, you know, from society. And he befriends them. And there's this whole underground society world, you know, like vampires and werewolves, and you know, I got the military involved, and I got this advanced police force, which I call cyber cop units, and it's like a bonanza. And he's got, you know, he's got the new breeds hunting him down, and everybody, you know, he's caught in the 12 issues. It's this. I introduce the whole outline of the story, and then after the 12 issues are done, I have, you know, little 3-issue arcs and 1-issue stories that are here and there, but the main, you know, every cast member in the first 12 issues will be introduced.
Nice.
So it's one of those things.
Oh, sounds intense.
Well, I have 10 minutes to think about it.
So now, are you planning on, like, releasing this as single issues or a trade paperback?
I haven't decided yet. I'm trying to, once I get all 12 issues done, I'm going to see what happens.
Right.
You know, because they're all written. I'm into the fourth issue right now. Once I get an issue 5 or 6, then I'll see what route I want to take. Because if I get an issue 5 or 6, then I could definitely try to get it out there. And I want to solicit, but not through, you know, not through the ordinary channels that we all know, like the Diamond. And I mean, that's all. Can I say bullshit, bro?
You can say whatever you want, yeah.
Right, I can say fucking cunt.
No. All
right, bleep.
Yeah, there you go.
Bleep. All right, listen. You know, we all know that everybody has a hard time with Diamond. It's bull.
Yeah.
But there's millions of markets out there, you know, through the magazine distributions, newspaper distribution places. They all buy that stuff from you know, distributors that distribute to a mass scale. You're talking, you know, you're talking hundreds of thousands.
Right.
Throughout the United States, not just, you know, a couple of comic shops. I'm talking to Borders Mark and into Barnes and Nobles and into, you know, humongous scale.
Right.
You know, I've done my research all the, you know, and I got things here and there, and that's how I intend to get these books out.
Right.
Or at least, you know, my best to get these books out.
Right. So. Yeah, because, I mean, I've been doing a lot of research on distributors, and Diamond isn't the only fish in town. You know, and there are distributors that are book distributors that will distribute comic books as well. And people don't know that because, you know, they've known Diamond as the only comic book distributor in the market, but that's not a fact. People just have to dig and look. So besides that, what conventions are you doing this year?
I don't think I'm doing anything this year. I just did that, the Primate, promotion show.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to hang out at the show with you guys.
Right.
The National, but, you know, these things get expensive, you know, to sell the $200 a table, $300 a table, you know. It's tough when you're not making anything back on it, so.
Right.
I think I'm focusing on next year. I'm doing Pittsburgh next year. I hear Pittsburgh's a nice small little show, and San Diego,
yes, San Diego.
Right. San Diego, you know. Yeah. I got my reasons of going back.
Yeah, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Exactly. Why you said no nothing about nothing?
Yeah, man.
Is that there?
Exactly. Yeah, same here. I mean, conventions are tough. I know when we started out, we did about 20 the first year, and I'm like, man, this is breaking the bank. And you know, we're excited, yeah. Overzealous. You know, everyone makes that mistake, and now we're just, you know, being strategic and doing a lot less, but you know, a lot more on the outside.
Putting more into it.
Yeah, focusing, yeah, on the product, and you know, we'll get the exposure when the time is right. Now. Is there anything? All right, said, you know, this because, you know, at conventions you'll see cats coming with their portfolios, and I was talking about this on another show that I did called, you know, about illustrating, and one thing, I mean, we all were victims to the portfolio review,
mm-hmm.
And you know, and time and time again, and now with, you know, with mass media and the internet and all these blogs and forums and MySpace and everything, you should know the basic understanding of a portfolio submission, what the requirements are, what they're looking for.
Right.
But you still see at conventions guys that'll come up to the table with loose paper.
Yep.
And so, and it bothers the heck out of me. I'm like, dude, did you not? You know, what advice would you give to an aspiring artist trying to break into this business?
Well, it depends on what they're looking for.
Right.
I just tell them to sit down and draw. You got to. It depends on what they want to do. Because if you're going to break into this business, you got to decide what you want to do first.
Right.
You're going to be a pencil, you're going to be inker, you're going to be a colorist. In all honesty, you can't do them all.
Right.
Eventually, you could do them all. But you have to decide what the craft is going to be.
Right.
And if the craft's going to be pencil, then you need to focus on penciling. And that's what I tell them. They want to be a penciler, they don't need your work.
Right.
If you want to get a job illustrating, then you have to show them what the illustration looks like.
Right.
If you want to get a job as an inker, then ink over professional pencils. Download it from the internet, ask them at the show that they got photocopies of their pencils, you can try to ink them, whatever.
Right.
If you're colors, same thing. If you're all three, you gotta work on one before you do the other.
Right.
Because it doesn't work, you know, it doesn't look good when you show somebody a penciled and ink page, but they can't see what it really looked like.
Right, exactly.
You know,
Exactly.
So that's my advice to them. If initially they have to figure out what they want to do first before they do anything.
Right.
And that's just the bottom line. Whether the pencil, ink, and color.
Yeah, because God knows I am the worst inker on this planet.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't like to ink, but I can ink.
You can ink, like, your inking is off the hook.
You know, I can ink, but it's just, you know, it's not my thing.
Yeah, I hate
it. I practice at things. You know, I pull out the quill, I pull out the brush.
Right.
I could do it with the rapidograph, the Sharpie mark, it don't matter.
Right.
But, you know, when I ink that piece for you and they go,
yeah.
That forbidden piece, man, I told him. When I saw he did it in San Diego, I knew I wanted to ink it. And you saw I went to town on it, bro.
I know. You pulled that Glock out and said, don't one touch it. I want to ink it. I was like, all right, you got it.
I was going to get, you know, shanked in the sciatic nerve, bro. They were going to mess with me that day, bro.
Even with penciling, I mean, I prefer simple line drawing. I mean, I can sit there and draw and shade and all that stuff. But, you know, for me, I don't get, you know, me, I'm just like, I like the more simpler style art for me to draw because, for instance, I'm doing Cosmic Wars, and which is on the back burner right now. It's a lot more detailed than Cosmic Wars, and there's a lot more that I have to put into it, which is why I have to put it on the back burner, but I'm doing it, they're nailing it in my toilet, and it's very simple, kid-friendly, clean art, and, you know, call me lazy hands, but I prefer drawing that type of art. Because it's the other one's more labor intensive. Even though you know at the end of the result you're like, wow, I did this, whatever. But you know when I watch you, I mean you're in there. I mean you're sweating, you're there, and you're working, and you pulling, you're doing your magic, and you apply that. I mean, you know, like with Anibal, when he gets into a page, I mean he wants to add every flesh tone, every you know, it's inspiring to watch you guys when you draw. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, wow, I just don't have that patience to sit there and do it. You know what I mean? And, you know, when I watch you guys, I'm like, wow, you know, these guys really love what they're doing. And they're in the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, that's a really, you know, cool thing. I mean, I know you recently just attended the Halloween party, the indie release party for Psychosis. How was that?
Yeah. Oh, that was awesome, man. You know, like, you know me, bro. I go to these things, bro, forget about it, it's over.
Forget about it.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
No, that was cool, you know, I picked up some books from some people there.
Right.
And, you know, good artists over there, it's, any guy's always the best ones, man. When I go to shows, that's all I buy.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I read the 50 Cent bin, but other than that, I always, you know, I spend my money on indie books all the time.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Those guys, the show, the party was cool.
Nice. Yeah, unfortunately, I couldn't attend. And George's company, last minute, they had to try to secure a contract with a client, and so they had to go to Nevada. And, you know...
Is that what he told you?
Yes, and Jonathan, you know, right? Yeah, I know.
I just buzzed your
job. I know, yeah. And Jonathan, you know, he's the one that wanted to break his bones because we gave him the camera, we gave him everything, we told him to get hyped, we told everybody, yo, Crash the Crazy is going to be there, we're going to be filming it, you know, we got a representative there. Last minute, he didn't show. Pissed me off.
There were a lot of hotties there, bro.
Yeah, he's dead to me.
Is this a family show? I'm sorry.
D.E.D. That, I don't know. You know what? I know we have a lot of listeners because we get about 100,000 hits, right?
Yeah.
But, and I know we have members in the forum because it's about 32 right now. And there's a new guy that just joined the forum. You know? Okay. But, no one's saying Jack. So they're joining the forum and I don't understand that.
Put my mind, bro. Tell me this show contains, language and offensive material and may not be...
Right. No, but we got this one guy that joined the forum. His name is Digital Sword. I guess that's his tag name on the forum. And the guy is like, you know, busted away, you know, with topics and you know, I asked for opinions or ideas for new shows, and he's in there throwing it, and he's on the forum talking, you know, going at it. And right. And I just, you know, we got a new guy that just joined. What is that? Hold on 1 second. Right here, I'm online right now. Checking it out. A new guy, Mr.
Hey, bro, don't be taking that shit out, bro.
This guy named Mr.
Easy, bro.
I know, right? There's a Mr. Terrific that just joined the forum like a couple of days ago, and he hasn't said a word. And you know, I don't understand it. How do you come into somebody's house and not say nothing? You know what I mean? So, Mr. Terrific, I got you. I see you on the forum. Say something. You know what? Do you like the show? What is it? You know, did I ask David Quiles any good questions? You think I didn't ask enough? You know, but. This is great, you know. And David, don't forget to join the forum, because if there are people out there that that are listening right now, well, we'll be listening when I upload it, you know, right now, but they are listening and they want to share their feedback, you know, you can answer them. You know, and I know we've had, you know, plenty of feedback on other shows. But, you know, thanks again, Dave, you know, for being on the show.
Yeah, bro, no problem.
You know, we're always going to be supporting you, and we're always going to be boys, and, you know. But, you know, any final statements you want to share with the world out there?
Yeah, you know, don't hang out with me, because I'm going to be with the mofo. The wolf, the madness, the package. That's all me.
And now, if anybody wants to get one of your books or contact you, how would they do that?
Through the website, infinitelinecomics.com.
Infinitelinecomics.com.
I have artwork posted on the Comics Art Fans. Comicartfans.com.
Comicartfans.com.
Really cool, yeah, really cool website. A lot of good artists on there.
Nice, nice.
And that's it.
Cool. And this is Sam the Crazy Man
Vera. And they can always email me at gothicsouls@AOL.com.
Gothic Souls?
Yeah, Gothic Souls with an S.
Gothic.
Okay. Yeah, Gothic Souls.
All right, well, we're going to go up, we cut to a commercial break, and when we be back, we'll be back with some final notes from this show. Peace.
There's an alien in my toilet.
Oh, hey, nah, I'm just doing a little comic book shopping.
Interesting choice.
Nah, this is for my son. I'm trying to get him to read more in this independent comic book company called Crazy Comics.
Crazy Comics? Yeah, I've heard of them. They have titles like Cosmic Wars and Rush 5377.
Yeah, and a title called Forbidden, but that's for me. Anyway, the great thing about this company is that they make a conscious effort to promote reading for kids. Yet their stories are so smart and funny that even an adult can enjoy them.
I know what you mean.
Just look at the back of this book. A glossary of terms and cool questions about the solar system.
I'm sold. There's an alien in my toilet. Hey, get over here. You just hit the last one.
Sorry, but don't worry. You can go online at crazycomics.com. They have an eBay store. You can buy all types of cool stuff from comics to t-shirts. See you later and catch the craze.
Hi there, I'm Goody from Uranus. If you haven't heard already, I am the star of There's an Alien in My Toilet, a fun adventure series by Crazy Comics. So stop by Goody'sWorld.com for all of your Goody adventures. And remember, it's all about Goody. That's the craze.
You so crazy.